Well, we're kind of wrapping up a couple of things here that we've been off and on talking about because we've had some other things. Probably the easiest way to summarize it for all of us, whether we're experienced people walking with God or whether we're just on the front end of walking with God, the beautiful thing about that is, you know, you don't earn brownie points with God. You can be just as close to God, just as close to God when you're a month old in the Lord as you can when you're 50 years old in the Lord. It's kind of a cool and wonderful thing. Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus' followers embrace the truth. If you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We talked a little bit about demons twisting the truth and how they go against the truth of God, and so they don't often just come up with their own truth, they twist the truth. So it's important for us to understand that so we can be watching for it. We also talked about how that differed a little bit from mankind and how we have a tendency to suppress the truth. Okay, so if you think about that, you know, in politics, if you think about that in social, economic, whatever, pick an area, you can just see the idea of not only twisting the truth that the demons are doing, but we suppress what is true. And that's become probably more apparent to me than it's ever been in my lifetime. The doctrines of demons oppose what is true, and there's a sheet for you there. Somebody who's very close to me, has a lot of influence with me, said, are you going to spend more time talking about the commandments? And I said, well, no. And she said, I think you should. And so that tips you off. It's like, of all the people that I know, it's a female that said this to me. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, she's really right, because the freedom that comes in the commandments is really worth thinking about, okay? We have a tendency to look at them as thou shalt not, rather than you shall be free, and this is how I'm going to make you free. So that's what that sheet's all about, and I want to return in July to spending a number of weeks just on the commandments. And looking at the commandments apart kind of from the doctrines of demons. I was thinking about this yesterday. My job as a teacher is to kind of like make things portable so they can, anybody can take them and put them in their toolbox. I mean, there's nothing more frustrating if you work on things, if you've ever had this feeling before, but you, whatever it is, and you don't have the right tool. You open up your toolbox and one of your kids has left it out in the yard, or, you know, all those different things that happen. And if you have the right tool, it's an awesome thing when you can take that tool and make it work. And I feel like that's what the Word of God is for us. The Word of God fills us up with tools. And as a teacher, that's what I try to do. I try to, you know, spend 5 hours or 10 hours or 15 hours on a subject, and then I'll try to bring it back to you and say, hey, get this into your toolbox because you're going to need it. And that's how I feel about this issue of the doctrines of demons. We're going to need it. You're going to need it over and over again. And it's not like we've never talked about it before in the years that we've been together. It's just that I think the times that we're living in make us need to be more ready to be workmen. Doctrines of demons oppose what is true. They recast what is true about God into different images. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a second. I put a third post up this week, solemn charge number 3, and we're going to talk about the solemn charge idea. But the word solemn charge, when that comes out in Timothy, that basically means to bring it to the top. You know, put it first place. And so when he says to Timothy, I want to give you a solemn charge, he's saying, hey, bring this right up to the top. Keep it at the top. Now, you know as well as I do, it's not easy to keep everything at the top, is it? We have the distractions and we have the internal things that are going on, so that can be difficult for us to do. So those are there, and all you have to do is go to Forest Stream and type in Solemn Charge and all three of them will pop up. You just put them in that little box there. And if you haven't had a chance to take a look at that. So then we spent a little bit of time talking about the doctrines of demons or the me gods. And we talked about the Ten Commandments. And, you know, I could read through these again, but, you know, this is something that you, those Ten Commandments are there for a reason. So these me God things you want to be careful of. But maybe the biggest thing you want to be careful not to do is to dismiss the Ten Commandments. Just dismiss them and go, well, I had a conversation with some friends last night about Old Testament and New Testament. You know, the Ten Commandments are who God is. They're not just what God is saying. This is who God is. And so I thought about that whole idea about the doctrines of demons and the Ten Commandments. And so I'm going to give you one that's really obvious. So as you, between now and July, I want you to sort this out. I want you to think about it. I want, because we're all going to have a little bit different take and a little bit different look on what those doctrines of demons are as you sort it out. And you're going to see different things because of how you're gifted. You're going to see different things because of your age. You're going to see different things because of your background. And what you're going to find is that demons have been at this for a long, long time. Demons don't die. The same demons that were cast down out of heaven all that time ago are the same ones who are loose on the earth now, except apparently for the ones who have been chained, according to Jude, based on what happened in Genesis chapter 6. And we talked about that a little while ago. So when you look at this, you shall have no other gods before me, then the me gods would say, well, you know, you just have to find gods that are acceptable. You know, gods that may go okay with that whole idea about him being the only God, but there's got to be a way to recast it. So I thought, if I was going to give one example, how would I do that to give you an example in your toolbox about thinking through this process? And I looked at number six and I thought, this would probably be the clearest one. You shall not murder. Okay? There's probably no sane person. Are you raising your hand? There's just, there are manifestations of it. Idols are actually things that you can see, that you fashion. Yeah. See, you're starting to think now too much. Which is what I love about him. So I thought about if I was going to pick one on this list that would illustrate this really well about the doctrines of demons. And when God says, do not murder, right? I know I'm in a room of people who probably think that abortion is murder, right? I would guess 95% of us probably think that. And I thought about that, and I thought, what's the doctrine of demons? And there are many related to that. But here's one that's so crystal clear. I don't know how people get over it. In Psalm 139, David talks about the fact that he was conceived in his mother's womb. He was fearfully and wonderfully made. What's the doctrine of demons? That's not really a person in there. Now, they're starting to abandon that, you know, because it doesn't really work with logic. And it doesn't really work with science. But now, that has ushered in the whole idea. And how many times did I hear that in the 60s and 70s and 80s? 1,000 times? About the unviable tissue mass that was in there. And the reality is that that's just a lie. It's a twisting of the truth. Call it what you want. When you abort a baby, you are taking a life. You are committing murder. And to call it anything else is biblically absurd. Now, I realize that there's a real continuum in our culture and there's healthcare issues. I get all that kind of stuff. I'm just looking at the principle that's there. And so take that doctrine, for instance, or that teaching of demons and how that has been inculcated and into our education process, into our social process, you know, and people quit talking about it like 25 years ago because it was too difficult to actually have a logical conversation about it because of the science then. Now science has become more of a problem than that. So I wanted to use that, and I realize that's kind of like a shocking example, and you know, you some of you might just be angry with me that I would even say that. And I'm getting used to that. Okay. And I'm happy to talk through that with you biblically, but go to Psalm 139, read it, and then weigh what I just said. And that's the only way we escape the doctrines of demons. You have to go back to your toolbox. You have to open up your toolbox, and you have to go, what does God say about this subject? It doesn't really matter what I think. I just gave you my opinion. What does that matter? In another 15 years or so, I'll be gone. My opinions won't matter a lot to hardly anybody. Maybe some family members that will wistfully remember me in kindness. Anyway, you get my idea? Or you get my thought here? You and I need to be constantly, not so much looking for the doctrines of demons. What's the devil making us do? We need to be looking at what is truth and how does truth amplify? How does truth place a light on the doctrines of demons? And then we need to be careful because if you take even these 10 areas of life, all of a sudden you've got 10 times 10, you've got 100 doctrines of demons you're negotiating. How many do you think you're negotiating right now in our culture? 10,000? Probably, I would guess. So, Dee?
When I was going through some of this, one of the things that came to me as far as the Ten Commandments is, I started thinking of them as precious gifts because, like you said, they reveal the heart of God, and there are things that they're like treasures. Given their proper place, they are things that bring as much peace to this life as is possible. But and then understanding then that these are precious gifts, what the deterioration of them does.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of relates to what we were talking about a little bit with communion. The idea that this amplifies, because they are gifts. They're gifts from God. They amplify what is true. But we also learn from them how we're going to be free. And when you're free, because of obedience to the commandments, you have a clear conscience. I mean, what a wonderful thing to be able to go down the list of the Ten Commandments and go, yeah, I got a couple of those this week that went kind of not so hot, but I have... When I went to the Lord's Supper, said, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me for my shortcomings, for my shortfalls. But wrapping up this whole idea, because I want you to be ready for this. Don't be surprised by this at all. Don't be surprised at how long the doctrines of demons have been like working their way in, not just to our culture, but they've been working their way in to our lives, defining who we think we are, defining what is really true and what's not true. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will step away from the faith. It's going to happen. How's it going to happen? They're going to pay attention to teaching illusions and the doctrines of demons. So this is like important stuff, right? If it makes us that vulnerable, isn't that important? By means of the hypocrisy of liars, sometimes it's breathtaking. You watch people, and I haven't watched the news now since November. For some reason, I just quit watching in November. And I still kind of check news feed and look at things, and I go, it's breathtaking. It's breathtaking how people can lie the way that we lie within our culture. Not just politicians do it. Scientists are doing it. Philosophers are doing it. Everybody, it's okay to lie because the end justifies the means. By the hypocrisy of liars burning in their own conscience as with branding iron, those who forbid marriage advocate rejecting foods which God has created to be gratefully shared. I commented on that a little bit. By those who believe and know the truth. And this is an astonishing statement. Everything created by God is good. What? What? Does Paul really know what he's talking about? Well, I think the Holy Spirit does. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is purified, or the word in your Bible might be sanctified. It's purified by means of the word of God and by prayer. So that leads me to the solemn charge part of this. That Paul apparently felt like he needed to give to Timothy, so I'm going to pass it on to you, okay? I'm going to say, I checked out this solemn charge. I've been thinking about it for a long time. Now I want to pass it on to you. Because I think when the scriptures were written, it wasn't just written for Timothy. I think it was written for you, and I think it was written for me. And the first passage that comes to mind, especially in making the transition from the doctrine of demons, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. A lot on the line there, right? And by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Now here's the charge. Preach the word. Why preach the word? It's the truth. Is the world going to be filled with truth? Was it filled with truth when God destroyed the entire world by water? No. There was nothing worth saving except for Noah and his family. Is it going to be any different at the end of the age than it was then? By his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Hold out the word of life. Always be ready in season. You know, I'm just having a great time in my yard right now. I love the seasons. I'm going to look forward to it when the leaves are falling, and I'm going to look forward to it when it snows again, because I love the seasons, and everybody who was raised in Wisconsin understands that. Not so much in Minnesota. I don't know what to say. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine any longer. But wanting to have their ears tickled, I think this is a great one, wanting to have the ears tickled, they accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Tell me what I want to hear. I mean, is there any clear statement on what's happening in our culture right now? Tell me what I want to hear. When you tell me what I want to hear, I will be loyal to you. Teachers in accordance with their own desires. You're speaking my language. You're telling me what I want to hear and what I want to get. And will turn away their ears from the truth, and they'll turn away to stories. They'll turn away to fables. They'll turn away to myths. But you, Timothy, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. It's not like all is lost. Again, this is not new. God has already destroyed the earth once by water. He is going to destroy it again by fire. We know that. The scriptures are crystal clear about it. So that solemn charge means to put it in the forefront. And so there are three places where Peter, or excuse me, where Paul tells Timothy about the silent charge. Are you sticking with me? Or is this, well, I'm not boring you. I hate to listen to boring people. This one is regarding leaders. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of his chosen angels, maintain these principles without bias. Do nothing in a spirit of partiality. Look at the context of it. You're not supposed to make excuses for leaders. Leaders are supposed to be the way God has defined clearly what kind of men and women they're supposed to be. My solemn charge is hold to this. Otherwise, you're going to end up with crappy leaders that are going to lead you in terrible ways. And this isn't new to America or our world right now. Look at one of the prophets, and he basically says, the whole head is sick. The whole head is sick. It's almost like there's a competition now. Who can lie better? The second place that's talked about is in 2 Timothy 2, verse 14 and 15. And the first one was about leaders. This one's about sound words. Remind them of these things. Solemnly charge. There it is. Bring it to the front. Bring it to the top. Solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself. You know, don't get caught up into arguments between people about philosophical and theological things. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God as a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. That's how it's supposed to happen. That's how we're supposed to avoid what's happening in the world around us. And the third one in 2 Timothy 4:1, regarding sound actions, we just looked at it. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in kingdom. And we just looked at that particular passage. So, why do I bring that whole solemn thing up? Well, it's there's a lot at stake. You know, you and I can't change about what's going to happen to the world. I mean, it's going to happen, right? We may be able to influence what's going to happen in our city. You know, I'm hopeful about that as I read about it. But the world is headed in a direction, and I'm not going to stop it. But if I can look at my life, and if I can take the solemn charge to heart, then I can do what I can do to impact my part of the world. And that is exactly what the salt of the earth is supposed to do. We are not going to change the trajectory of the world, but we can impact the trajectory of the people in our world. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's a solemn charge, and that's why he said, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You know, bring it to the forefront. Don't get wrapped up in the monkey business. We don't have time for that. So, I was thinking about that, back to the idea of a clear conscience. Okay, so we've got a pretty clear delineation in the scriptures about, you know, these are the commands of God, and these are the me gods. Okay, at least in overall, you can kind of look at it and go, okay, I get that, I understand it. And I thought about here I am stuck in the middle. You know, I'm stuck in the middle of this. I've got holy, righteous, pure, powerful God on one side of me, and he's speaking to a part of me that he had to bring to life in order for me even to hear it. And then I've got this world around me that I'm so drawn to, that they are speaking my language, they are talking my talk, and here I am. I'm like right in the middle of this, and if anything, I often feel more over here because of the influences around me. So that makes me think about my heart. And it makes me think about my conscience, because I think they're like totally tied together. It's not just like about your physical organ. It's about your conscience. And so the Bible talks a lot about living with a clear conscience. And I thought, well, if I was going to express that in a way that anybody could understand and have it in their toolbox and go, this is how that happens. It's not a matter of me cleaning up my conscience. I know when it's dirty. I know when it's clean. I get it. I've been living with me for a long time. But this really struck me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. And these are, of course, I put it on a red slide because these are Jesus' words, so they're in red. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Now think about the context that we're just talking about. This is something that God wants to teach us about. He literally wants us to put it at the top so that everything we see and everything we hear and every person we encounter, that we can experience what's being described right here. He will teach you all things. And not only will he teach you, reminds me of I think it must be in Isaiah. Oh, how I long to be gracious to you. I wait upon high to have compassion upon you. And bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So he's not only going to teach you, but he's going to like quicken this heart, mind combination, whatever that looks like that we've got going on there in our soul or with our soul. And what's he going to do with that? Peace I leave with you. What happens if you even start thinking about the Ten Commandments and the doctrines of demons? It causes agitation, doesn't it? You start looking at all the things around you and you start going, wow, this is awful and this is terrible, and I get it. But what does he say? Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And I don't know, I've mentioned this a couple of times over the years, but where's Jesus right now? He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Where was he when Stephen died? He was standing at the right hand of God the Father. I think he stood up to receive the soul of Stephen. I have told you all of this stuff before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. And that's the conscience part. That's the beautiful thing about what's going on inside of you, just like it's going on inside of me. And you know, this isn't like a gradient thing, and it's not like a, you know, well, the Spirit is more in you than he's in me. He's in us. He's in us teaching us. He's in us instructing us. What's the variable? Am I going to put it up to the top? Or am I going to be letting it be pushed down? That's something you do have control over. I have control over that. So, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for your toolbox. And so, if you grab the sheet there, I tried to put a bunch of this stuff together. So there's the passages. I love how 1 Timothy 4 is in the Message. I think it's way more clear than it is in the New American Standard, so that's why I put it there. And I'd like you just to kind of fold this up and put it in your Bible or put it in your phone carrier or whatever. And in July, we're going to return to this subject. And I would like you to be learning from God about these four things. I'd like you to open the conversation. You don't have to pull the sheet out every week. I just want you to open this conversation between you and God. In what specific places do particular doctrines of demons impact me and my friends? Where do I see it happening? Give it some thought. Bring it to the forefront. Second of all, where do you personally feel susceptible to influence from these specific angelic lies? Where's your Achilles? Where are you weak? I can see that when I look down the Ten Commandments. I got a couple of commandments in there that it's going to take a lot for me to murder somebody, okay? It's not going to take a lot for me to commit adultery. Just saying. Third, what has God told you to do to escape these entanglements and traps? Instruction. What has God taught you about himself and about these things? And fourth, what words would you use to articulate this concept with someone you care about? Because, you know, you don't want to go and have breakfast with somebody and say, hey, today I'd like to talk about the doctrines of demons. That'll probably go really well, right?